In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink?" The king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sometimes Christians are afraid of Judgment Day. The Lord does not want you to be afraid. When he says to you, "Do not be afraid," he speaks words of forgiveness and love. To be one of Jesus' sheep is to have come to know and believe by the grace of God that I am a poor, miserable sinner, and that according to God's law, I deserve the wrath and the punishment that the goats will be hurled into. But God is merciful to me, and he forgives me, and he justifies me, and he declares me righteous. And his forgiveness and his love and his mercy has become the most important thing for me. And I hear his voice, and I follow him. That's what it is to be one of the sheep of the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for us. When we as broken and contrite sinners hear that word of mercy and grace in this life, we are hearing the judgment of God upon us for Jesus' sake. And when he comes again in glory, we will hear that same judgment. "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Because that kingdom was prepared when God, before time began, willed the sending forth of his Son to redeem fallen humanity and to save us from our sins. Remember, God desires all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what the Apostle Peter declared to us this morning in the epistle. And the church exists from now until Christ's second coming because we're the body of Christ. And we remain in this veil of tears that there might be manifest in us the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ for others. This gospel reading for the second to last Sunday of the church year is often perplexing to Christians. And you actually hear some of the perplexing nature of it in what the sheep say to Jesus. It's perplexing because he draws attention to works. "I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was sick and in prison and you visited me." Why is he signaling out works when the singular focus of the sheep is on the Good Shepherd and his love? When Jesus tells these parabolic stories in the gospel, there is always a mystery in the passage which he keeps hidden from the world, a mystery which is revealed only to those who know him. On the surface, this gospel seems to be calling people to acts of social justice. But it's actually not talking about that. In fact, feeding of the world's starving population would be likely some of those works that in pride and arrogance the unbelievers would hang their hat upon. See what we have done. If anyone deserves salvation, it is us for the kinds of sacrifices that we make, which is always the characteristic of unbelief. Pride, arrogance, self-righteousness that focuses upon works. But this gospel speaks of the mystery of faith. It speaks of how the grace of God that Christians receive, a grace from their shepherd who hear the voice of their shepherd, causes sheep out of a response to the mercy and grace of God to do some remarkable things which to the world are not noticed at all. How many Christians reach out in acts of kindness to others without counting the cost? These Christians are not thinking about earning their salvation by doing good works. They are befriending and supporting ministers of the gospel who bring Christ to them. They do these things at times under great threat of harm to them. But out of love for Jesus, they love others for whom Jesus shed his blood. But the singular focus is on Christ. You hear it in the gospel. When did we do these things for you? This is exactly the kind of thing Jesus was talking about. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick and in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. There is a key to understanding the gospel for today. The phrase, the least of Jesus' brethren. My sheep, hear my voice, Jesus said. They follow me. His sheep are those who, more than anything else, have heard the word of forgiveness and grace from Jesus, and they not only trust that word, but because of his forgiveness and love for them, they love him. And out of this faith in Jesus, the sheep who trust in his word follow him, even if their own life and livelihood are threatened. They do many good works, but these works are the fruit of faith in them, a fruit worked by the reception of God's grace and mercy. Think of some examples from the scriptures themselves. Remember Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, who anointed Jesus' feet during Holy Week. You see in that gesture of kindness toward Jesus the singular focus upon him. She loved him. She adored him. Jesus himself says, she has anointed my body for burial. The Jewish religious machine was breathing contempt and murder against Jesus at that time. Yet Lazarus and his sisters received Jesus into their home, and they cared for him and the disciples. And Jesus went so far as to anoint him with oil. You remember Judas Iscariot. He considered it to be a waste of money that would have been better given to the poor. Judas was such a pious fellow, but he rejected the word of Christ. He is one of the goats. Do you remember during Paul's missionary journeys, Lydia, the seller of purple from Thyatira, and a prominent businesswoman in the city of Philippi? She risked everything when she received the word of the gospel on Paul's second missionary journey. And she took Paul and Silas into her home. In Philippi, the Jews stirred up angry mobs against the brothers of Christ, and they were hated. And it was the religious hatred of the establishment in that city. These apostles are stirring everything up. But by the grace of God, Lydia befriended them. At the potential loss of her own business and personal comforts. In the same city, after Paul and Silas was arrested, do you remember the incident with the Philippian jailer? He nearly committed suicide when he thought after the earthquake the apostles had surely escaped with all of the prisoners, and he didn't want to face a cruel death at the hand of the Romans. But Paul called out with a loud voice, "Do yourself no harm, we are all here." When the jailer heard that, it was a remarkable thing, because it was as if he was hearing everything that they were praying and singing about in that jail through the night. It must be true. Why would they stay in the prison? And so the jailer says to Paul, "What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household, and you will be saved." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, and they preached the gospel of God's mercy and grace in Christ to this Gentile Roman jailer. And he and his entire household were baptized. And St. Luke records that the jailer took them that same hour and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, for he believed in God with his whole household. It can guarantee you that that jailer, in what he did for Paul and Silas, was giving no thought to his works. It was an act of pure faith and devotion and love for the Savior who had been brought to him by one of the least of Jesus' brethren. These are but a few examples of sheep who hear the voice of the shepherd and by the grace of God did some remarkable things. Their works are the evidence that the sheep hear and receive the work of Christ. They are the works of faith that give testimony to the Lord Jesus whom they follow. These works don't save the sheep, but these works are the embodiment of the gospel in Christians, for other Christians, and for those who do not know Christ. What is the evidence that the goats refuse to hear the work of Christ? The evidence is seen in the hostility which the church and faithful ministers of the gospel endure throughout the world on a daily basis. From the time of Jesus to the present day, it is characterized by self-righteousness, arrogance, pride, and a rejection of undeserved compassion and mercy. He will say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer and say, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The goats reject the word of the gospel. It's silliness. To use the language of the Apostle Peter in the epistle, they scoff at it. Who can believe it? That God sent his Son, who died upon the cross for humanity, and that's salvation. That is the good work by which we are justified, delivered from sin, and reconciled to God. Yes, that's exactly the foolishness of the cross, which for those who believe is the power of God for salvation. It is why we love him. Don't be afraid of Judgment Day. When our Lord returns in glory for you, he will speak the same judgment that he has spoken to you throughout your life, which is the reason you've come to believe in him and to love him more than anything else. Consider this. When you, because of your sins, were hungry and thirsty, he fed you and he gave you to drink of life-giving water. When you were naked, he clothed you with the royal robe of his righteousness. When you were sick spiritually and imprisoned under the bondage of the law and with the accusations of Satan bearing down against you, he visited you. And he said to you, son, daughter, be of good cheer. I have taken the full burden of your sin. You are free. Do not be afraid. I forgive your sin and your iniquity. I remember no more. Christians reach out to the least of Jesus' brethren because Christians have come to know that they are the least, but the Lord Jesus has set them on a pedestal and made them the greatest in the kingdom, you and I, by the word and testimony of his grace. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.